Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining today. It's a live class for us. Yay. When I do the recorded classes, it's just me talking to me. I imagine all of you there, but it's a little different. And the energy lends itself just slightly different too, but it's nice to be in community and have all of you on the call. For a timestamp, it's our Wednesday night, 7 p.m. class on June 11th. And I ha have to look at the date because I'm all over the map with days and dates and months and can't recall where the heck I am these days, which is okay. As I was saying before I started the recording, my biggest concern these days is not running over a turtle. As crazy as that sounds, this is my biggest concern. Not running over a turtle, not running over a snake. Every time I turn around, there's a huge, old, very ancient. I've posted pictures of them, but there's not just one. It's like any part of the neighborhood I go into, it's like each section has their own native turtle. And they all look pretty much the same. They're very ancient looking, look like the time of the dinosaur. And they don't really care. They're going to cross the road whether you're coming or you're not. And if they see you coming, they pull everything in and they hope for the best. And that's how it works, But it's amazing because I've even seen big trucks, like guys driving like these big Ford pickup trucks that are like, super duty trucks, right? With the twin dualies and like all tricked out and super lifted and everything. And they look out for them too, which is amazing, because as I pass the turtle, especially if it's on a turn in the road, I'm like, please, please let this turtle be safe. But it's, I'll post a picture. I live in the boondocks. Like, I really legitimately mean this. So even when I'm on the back road here, which is considered a main road that has a double yellow line, it's one lane each way. There's never any cars on it. There's never any traffic on it. Loretta will vouch for that as she's been here, And then I drive lasagna around and I'm getting to know the neighborhoods really, really well and like where everything is, all the different parts of the neighborhood and everything. There's never any cars. I mean, now that, summer's here and school, I guess school's out. I see a few more kids, but usually it's just me and him, unless I pass a golf cart. Those are pretty popular here, and people are tooling around on golf carts all the time. It's a thing. And some of these young kids have these big monster four-wheelers, side-by-sides, whatever they're called. I don't know. They're souped up and tricked out and yeah, so it looks like Mad Max around here some days, when, like on either a Saturday or Sunday, and you get these young kids coming through here with their souped up ride. It's not a car. It's not a car, and it's you're not going to hear, loud, souped up, tricked out, hoopty kind of. Nope, they're on these vehicles that are like, essentially. A golf cart with embellishment, kind of sorta. So that's, that's what's going on here. And so these energies that we're experiencing, I mean, the clarity I have probably more clarity than I've ever had in my life, because as I said, a lot of the stress that I did have in the last living situation, I don't have that anymore. And even if Joe was here every day, he does his own thing and I do my thing. And then once, like, for Friday night when he first gets in, because he gets in very late. So we have dinner together. And then on Sunday before he leaves, we have dinner together. But I don't see him all day Saturday. I see him in the morning. I make breakfast. Usually we'll have breakfast bite together. And then I'm off doing my thing. By the time I'm back or done, he's off doing his thing. But there's no stress in that either. It's very harmonized. So it's the only stress I have is trying to get lasagna out for some kind of a drive, because he's always reminding me it's time to play. And I'm like, I gotta work. I gotta do this. I gotta write this up. I gotta take notes. And he's like, no, come on. And like literally nudges me to death until I get up and I go over and play with him. Or, I'm like, all right, I'll take you for a ride first, and then I'll go do the chores that I have to do. So, this is my life now. It's very different, very, very, very different. And I'm trying to post in my stories pictures of the different animals that I come across. Today it was this pileated, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, woodpecker that looks like he's also from the prehistoric times, and huge, the size of a crow. Who Where did that come from, right? But yeah, that's the animals down here, so it's very interesting. But with these crazy energies that we're living in, the way that the sun is operating right now, I think I even mentioned it on the last the replay, the recorded class that I did. The sun energy is really like shifting dramatically. The earth is like literally playing catch up to generate her own light signature to become her own light. So more and more, many of you are going to start to notice that when your eyes are closed at night, it might seem like there's a light on in your head. Not a bright light, but like a sense of a light, some kind of illumination, right? And this is because our light body is so, accelerated, it's so amplified, it's we're electric, we're becoming this gamma and the plasma particles and the photons and everything else that is coming to us from the cosmos. So, the body's gonna feel achy, your joints are gonna bother you, you're gonna have, spontaneous moments where you might get some kind of cramping in your foot or your leg or something, and you can't straighten your leg out, or you can't move your toes, and it feels like everything is locked up. Head wants to go, oh my God, I'm developing MS. And it's not. It's the gamma coming through is so intensified that it's pushing distortion out of the body. And where do we carry a lot of that? We carry it in the lower three chakras. We carry a lot of it in our feet. Okay. So we have to really start being present, pay attention, notice what the body is dealing with, and what we are going through, experiencing. It's going to be more important than ever for us to be in a place of presence within ourselves, right? For the purpose of our own embodiment. Because I tell you, lately, everything talks to me. Everything talks to me. When you get quiet enough, it's the craziest thing, but when you get quiet enough, and it's like it's me in the house with Bella and Lasagna, and there is nothing else here. I don't have any distractions, right? And when you have that level of engagement within your reality, and there's no distractions, it's just you. You recognize that the outer reality needs to stay the outer reality, because when the outer reality is not brought into your inner reality, it does not exist. Right? There's like nothing out there. You're not connecting to it, and in not connecting to it, you're not attracting it into you. You're not calling in any of the chaos, any of those energies, right? And the opportunity for a greater level of intuition is available to us. Okay. So it's up to us to really find our moments, find the places, find those times where we can get quiet. When we're too busy and we've busied ourselves with too much because we think we need to be busy or we think we need to be overly productive. I was that person. I grew up that way. My mom had an agenda for me to, do the housekeeping and learn to cook and do all this stuff at a very young age. So I didn't really have a playful kind of childhood. And so now is where that level of freedom is coming in that cleared out the path to allow for more play. And I don't know how to play. That's what I'm learning. I don't know how to play. Okay. So, this is something that's a new territory for me because my whole life has been focused on service, responsibility, and getting it done, right? Being productive. Because if I wasn't productive, it meant that I wasn't like earning a value or I wasn't feeling my self-worth is measured by my outer influences, right? And even with art was never considered productive. Creation was never considered productive. Now I'm shifting programming to really drill in that creation is extremely productive. Okay, so all of these inversions that we're feeling on the earth, where there's a lot of things that are backwards to keep us contained in the 3D game, in 3D thinking, so that we're not expanding our consciousness, is now going to be revealed to us on an individual level. I mean, yeah, there's things that we're playing in that's an inversion out there in the in the outer reality, but there's a lot of stuff that's within our reality that we are needing to look at and really, sit with and be present for that might be coming up, right? So many things. So we're each going through this on an individual level. These energies that are coming in, as I said yesterday in yesterday's post, we have a lot of gamma coming in. I'm noticing a lot more hair in the drain, my hair, the more than ever before. And it doesn't faze me because I know I'm not sick. I know I'm not going bald. I'm shedding because of the level of gamma that we have coming in, right? So it's very important that we're staying on top of our body, connecting with the body and understanding and knowing what is taking place, understanding and knowing, what is transpiring in the cosmic infrastructure. Okay. And I'm just going to say this because I'm seeing a lot of things out there. Be very conscious of where you're getting your information from. Okay. If you're looking for astrology information, I would go to an astrologer. If you're looking for, scientific cosmic information on plasma and all that stuff, look for somebody that is very versed in that type of stuff. Make sure that you're getting it from legitimate sources because I am seeing a lot of stuff out there that does not make sense with what people are saying is taking place right now. And yes, that is my perspective, but it's also a truth. And if you go measure it against the individuals that are in the know of what is taking place, you will see where the truth lies. And it's important that we have some sense of accuracy, right? So we have to make sure that we're also using our own ability for intuition and tuning in at a deeper level within us, that we're not just accepting somebody else's information verbatim. You know, as I've said before, I always do my best to bring the highest level of information as I understand it. And if I am not sure for some reason, whatever, I will check a source to just see what, you know. And if you know me, you know I'm not checking just one source. I'm checking several different sources to go, okay, they're all pointing to the same thing. Like I'm not crazy, right? So that I'm bringing that information here in the highest way to all of you, because there is that level of responsibility that I engage in when I'm bringing information forward. So we have this, what would we call it? It's this concoction of energies, right? This like cosmic cocktail, which is more shaken, not stirred, right? If you're a Bond fan. And it's this like every aspect of our lives as we know it is shifting. And these energies are asking us to surrender to whatever that feels like. Okay. And I will tell you, I haven't journaled in a very, very long time, but as I was starting to unwind from the prior living situation that I was in, probably, I want to say maybe last October, I've been journaling since then, right? And before that, I hadn't journaled in years. It'd been years. But there's a lot of things that are coming to light in the art of journaling. And so I want to encourage you, and I know I do offer journal prompts, and I offer them because it's stuff that, you know, has come up for me that I find pretty helpful. We have to understand there's some key elements at play in the cosmic shifts that are happening that have never happened in 186 years. So the last known living entities of that time period were 186 years ago that, you know, were under the influence of those cosmic forces. So we're kind of winging it, okay? And which is why I said it's important to make sure that you're engaging with people if you are looking for information on astrology. You're engaging with people that are very, very clear about the fact that we're in all new energy. I mean, this energy is new in so many ways. The levels of plasma are all new. The levels of plasma have elevated so incredibly much, have intensified, that, you know, most of the time when I take a picture, it's all you know, pixelated in it because the level of plasma in the air is so high. So it's important for us to remember that everything that we know is now changing. It's all changing and nothing is going to stay the same. Nothing's going to be the same, but it's going to be amazing. It's going to be better than we've ever known it to be if we can surrender to some of the discomfort. If we fully detach from that outer reality and do our best to let go and not engage, then the ride becomes very peaceful. It becomes sweet, serendipitous, right? We can elevate faster, clearer, more clearly. But if we're, you know, dipping a toe in that water, engaging in some way, shape, or form, it can be a little bit more rough. Now, that's not to say that if you're obviously, if you're in service and you're going out there, and I know many of you are doing this, that you're engaging with people who have very differing opinions. Let that be. And that's okay, Right? Because we don't have to agree with everybody, and everybody doesn't have to agree with us. And we can use opinions and differences to help ourselves elevate, right? To practice more of a neutral state. We could look at that and honor it in the way of our soul's journey, believing. Every soul we encounter, we've talked about this in the past, every soul we encounter is a soul that has been put in our path, soul blueprinted to us for an opportunity for us to have the exchange and ascend, right? And so if we encounter a situation where, let's say, somebody is unkind to us, has unkind words for us in some way, shape, or form. We can use that moment and we could say, well, thank you, universe, for this gift that you've given me. Thank you for showing me this. Thank you for allowing me to have an opportunity to experience this in my life because it gives me an opportunity to be able to reflect on how I can view that soul and appreciate that soul and appreciate what they're bringing to the table, right? And not take it personally, not take it personally. I think that's hard for most people to do that because when somebody is so angry that they are maybe saying unkind words to us, chances are it's not going to be about us. Right? It's going to be about how they are feeling about themselves. Okay. And the first place that always starts for me is a feeling of insecurity. So when somebody is insecure with themselves and how they feel about themselves with respect to what they know, how they're fitting into the world, how they're interacting, whatever it is, then when they get triggered by something, right? When they get triggered and they lash out, it's only because there's a discomfort on their end. And it's so important for us to understand this, that it's not something that is, intentional for us, but or to us. It's for us so that we can continue to elevate and say, how would source How would the creator handle this? Would he see through what's taking place and come from a place of compassion and come from a place of love, right? And so it offers us that opportunity. So I'm not saying lock yourself away somewhere and hide from all that's taking place. What I'm saying is be so conscious of what is happening in your reality for you and how you are navigating it, that you are using every opportunity as an opportunity to grow, as an opportunity to shift your concepts, shift your understanding, shift your level of compassion, because that's going to be needed. The rest of this year is going to feel very chaotic if you're looking at the outer reality. If you're dealing with people who are looking at the outer reality, many of us know people that sit in front of that TV all day long, all day long. Now, here's the thing, and I had this conversation with Loretta, and we were talking about what is real in the reality? What is real on social media? Does anybody know? I mean, how many of you are coming across posts in social media where, like, somebody's using a likeness of one of the Hollywood stars or some past Hollywood star or some doctor, and it's not even that person, it's an AI-generated version of that person. And I've seen so many high-profile people. Most recently, a doctor Say, hey, they're out there generating AI videos with my likeness. I did not give them permission to do that. And they're trying to sell you this or that. Don't believe it. So we have to be careful with that because we have been under the influence of Uranus in the sign of Taurus. And I'm not an astrologer, so I'm not going in a deep dive here. I'm merely pointing out where this is coming from. So, in the sign of Taurus, AI suddenly shot up, right? We saw a rise in AI. And it primarily took off like a rocket when Pluto went into Aquarius and the age of Aquarius got kicked off, right? Suddenly there was this uptick in AI. We were seeing, now we're seeing like cryptocurrency all over the place and all this other stuff and whatnot. And now, and that's been, I think, the last year and a half, 2 years, something like that. Now we have in July, I think it's July 7th, but don't quote me. Uranus is going into Gemini, the next sign, right? It's making a transition to the next sign. And then after Gemini, it'll go into Cancer. And then after Cancer, it goes to Leo, right? Goes down the whole line of the zodiac signs. And why this is important, because when it goes into Gemini, it's going to change the way humanity looks at AI technology, right? In Taurus, everybody jumped on the bandwagon with AI technology. It was the best thing, cryptocurrency, this, that, But what we don't understand, and I heard somebody talking about this the other day, and I was not aware of it, how much resource it takes to create the platform for cryptocurrency. It takes a lot of resource, like from, on a global level, whatever it is, satellites, water sources, like all these different sources. I had no idea because I don't know anything about cryptocurrency. It never resonated with me. I never had a need to look in it, right? But when I heard this guy talking about it, and he was like, when we have this shift and it goes into Gemini, he goes, it's going to change a lot of things. And the planet Uranus in general is an awakener. So what is it doing? It's an awakening, another stage of conscious evolution in the next sign, in the sign of Gemini. And Gemini just happens to be an air sign, right? So where Taurus is a sign associated with the earth, and AI using all of these earthly resources for its mana, for its opportunity for staying power. Now it shifts into the sign of Gemini, which is an air sign. And now it's going to be more about people starting to really come back to earth and being like, oh, is AI technology really good? Should we be using it for all of these things? So we're going to start to see some changes here with the direction that consciousness has been going, with the direction that everything has been pulled to, right? So it's going to be interesting, if nothing else. Okay. So I think it's important for us to gauge our own journey with all of these things rather than getting overly excited and overly stimulated and jumping on a bandwagon, right? It's very important for us to sit in our embodied state of being and say, is this feeling right for me? Is this feeling wrong for me? Where do I lie with this? Because everything is going to shift. Everything's going to continue to shift, which is why might feel a little chaotic this year before everything kind of finally settles down. And then next year, 2026, we can actually get to the healing part of the journey, believe it or not. Now, if you go back to my recordings back from the beginning of when we started this, through 2020, 2021, 2022, you will have heard me point this out right? That 2026 was going to be the year of healing, because it 2025 is a 9 year. So it's where everything has to expand, right? Because nine is expansion, and then it collapses, right? And then what do we have? 2026 is a 1 year. It's all about renewal. It's all about healing. Okay. So the big player on deck right now is this Sagittarius full moon. Full moons are culminations, endings, bringing about some kind of shift from whatever work we've been doing, especially when we are paying attention to what is needing our attention in our reality. And this energy, because of the way that the sign of Sagittarius operates, is very visionary. Okay, it's very bold. It's a fire sign. It's fire. It likes to shoot first, like Aries, like all the fire signs, and ask questions later. So it's very visionary. So this sign, Sagittarius, also brings a lot of creative essence, right? So it provokes our creative power and our ability for creation. So you might notice yourself wanting to be more creative. Maybe you're wanting to plant flowers, or you're wanting to do some art or some music or dance or something, whatever is creative for you. And that's because there is so much creative power available right now in the cosmos, right? Especially under the guise of this moon. One of the things that's very important now, especially as we're going to be running out into different dimensional levels of expansion over this, the course of the next half of this year, is going to be spiritual integrity. It's a must, right? So holding spiritual integrity, being true to yourself, honoring yourself. Okay, because this moon is a catalyst for change, and it's asking us to find our courage so that we can live by our inner law. And we're going to see this play out over the next couple of months. We're going to see humanity waken to the idea of, hey, what is it that I really want? I'm running with all of these different narratives, and so many people out there are hopping on a bandwagon and don't even understand what it is that they're championing for the cause. They're just doing it because other people are doing it, and they don't really understand, right? This is where we need to understand what it is that we are fighting for, what it is that we're standing up for, what it is that is taking place within us at a deep level that we need to fight for. Maybe you need more downtime, right? And maybe the people surrounding you want you to go, 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 go. And you're like, whoa, hey, wait a second. I'm feeling like I'm going to burn out. I can't do anymore. And maybe you do what Diana did and say, hey, enough is enough. Here's my resignation. I'm done with this job. I can't anymore. I'm going to just leave caution to the wind and trust that I'm going to be carried in the momentum that is taking place, right? That takes complete surrender. That is acknowledging the soul at the deepest level, right? That's acknowledging the desire within at the deepest level, that we can honor ourselves in that moment. And in many cases, when we go to an extreme like that, now, not everybody will be challenged by something like that, right? I had my challenge in 2008 when I got so fed up with corporate that I handed in my resignation, just as Pluto went into Capricorn and, you know, we started a recession. And everybody was like, you're crazy. What are you doing? You know? And I was like, I can't, I just can't do it anymore. You know, this is I've already had cancer twice. I'm not having it three times. You people are making me nuts. I can't do this, right? It was my time to go, and I didn't care. I wanted everybody in my life around me to understand, I'm done here. I can't do this anymore. I've met my max. I'm at my boiling point, right? So think about maybe where your boiling point is. Do you have one? Is there something that you're needing to shift in your reality because what is happening in your world is not working for you anymore? Change has to happen for you, right? But we have to do it with this deep inner integrity. And also at the same time, we have to understand that these shifts that we're making, they may be healing fragments of wounds that we've carried through lifetimes, right? And I know I say that as if like there's past lives, but if you think about it from, the nonlinear of the parallel realities, right? Everything compounding and eventually collapsing into the one, which is the now, then all of those wounds that we've carried have to come up. They have to be met. They have to be integrated in some way, shape, or form. That would be in this now, right? Which would then require greater alignment with our I am presence, right? And what is true for you? And what are you feeling most in this truth? That's what we're navigating right now. These are the energies that are coming in, right? Being our own authority, aligning with the I am presence, aligning and being in the oneness, right? Sourcing from within. Too many times we're looking for the answer over there, or up there, or out there, or, right? And the one that we really have to source into is within. And most of the time, we're asking all of these other sources what they think because we're not trusting the answer we got. Or sometimes we might not like the answer that we got because the soul wants us to make a change. Right? I mean, we could take a job change when you give notice at your job. A lot of times it's not a spontaneous moment of like, oh, I think I'm going to quit my job today. Right? It's happening over the evolution of, weeks, months, a year, maybe 2 years. And then we're just like, we get to a point, you get called and you're like, I'm a ticking time bomb if I don't start to listen to my inner being. I gotta go, right? I'll see you later. I gotta go. I'm at stake here. That's what we're being called to the table for. Okay. It's gonna be important for us to be unapologetically us, right? The new divine human. The new divine aspect within ourselves. Who is it we want to be? Don't be like somebody else. They're already taken, they're out there. Be you, right? But sometimes we forget that and we adorn ourselves with, all kinds of costumes and accessories and everything else. And we forget that it's okay for us to just be ourselves because we're already in the perfection of the likeness of the creator. Otherwise we wouldn't be here, right? And that I think is a big one because I see that one over and over and over again. It's time to see the role or the character that we've been playing hit the road. If we've been trying to maintain a role or uphold a particular character, it's going to have to go because as the energies build, and if it's not authentic to us, we're going to have a harder and harder time maintaining it. And things are going to pop up that's going to, shake loose whatever's not in alignment, shake loose whatever's not, meant to be in your wheelhouse, let's say, right? So it's up to us. We have to remember, we have to come home to ourself. And this Sag moon is the kickoff to all of this. It's like it's ending that chapter over there as we step into this new beginning over here. Okay. And it can feel like a lot. It can feel like a lot, but that's okay because if it's not working, we're carrying a lot just to try to keep it working. Right? That's exhausting. It's exhausting. So let's not do that. We're going to be very heavily moving into a time of remembering who we are. And in really authenticating ourselves and being the embodiment of what we came here to be, the question I wrote down here is, do we dare live that version of ourselves? Right? Because I know plenty of people who signed up for a course. And I mean, I see it, with myself in the past too, right? I could use the herbal stuff and sign up for the course. And yeah, I have the knowledge, I have the background, I have the backbone to it and all. But it was, an initiation and an activation because it's not passionately pulling me forward into any realm. And I can't stay in that modality if there's no embers in the fire, right? But if I wasn't me knowing what I know, and I was someone else who didn't realize that that was not maybe in a true path alignment, would try to stick it out and try to make it work and try to have that experience, and it just wasn't working. And then we can't figure out what else we have to do, why it's not happening, how come the people are not coming, how come the money is not coming, how come this is not happening, right? And it's because maybe it's not you authentically. Maybe there's an aspect of that that you were meant to have as an activation, but there's another part of it that you have not lined up yet with because you're too focused on this over here, trying to make it work instead of surrendering to what is and allowing yourself to open and be free to whatever is wanting to come in and line up with you. Does that make sense? Because that's a big one. And I see this all the time. Okay. So we have to look at this. What am I needing to let go of that's not really working for me anymore? What do I need to let go of that just does not feel authentic and true to who I am in this time? Okay. And remember, this moon is coming on today, the 11th. The 11 is a master number. It's calling us into our soul's mastery. Okay, even if you're not a life path 11, we're still accessing this energy on the day of 11. And so, mastery number coming in, asking us to live in our mastery. And then when we look at the number and we reduce the number down, 1 plus 1 is 2. And if we look at the number of 2, we're looking at the number for balance and harmony. Now, something that has been coming to my attention and, something that Lasagna has been has been a great asset with, really helping me with this, is playtime. Because every minute of all day long is playtime for Lasagna, right? He does not know work time. And he'll come up to me and he'll say, "Can we play? Can we play? Can we?" And I'm like, "No, I have to write notes for class." And "Oh, you just worked something else. Can't you play right now?" "No, Lasagna, I have to work." And then he'll actually bring me every one of his toys, right? So I have to look at that and I have to say, you know what? Maybe it is time for play. Maybe I do have 5 minutes for play. Maybe I have 10 minutes for play. I can always come back and finish writing the rest of my notes in a few minutes, but let me entertain this. And then I went and I had some play time with him and we played for about 10, 15 minutes. And then I came back to write more notes and I felt a little more refreshed, right? But he's also teaching me to unlearn what I learned in my corporate world, which was there is no play. It's all work, 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 right? Do not take any personal calls. Do not have any personal conversations. It's work. And also what I learned in my childhood, which was responsibility, responsibility, right? That level of responsibility that keeps you engaged in the work, work, work. So that's Lasagna's job in my life. And the funny thing is that I thought this was so profound, really. That's the only word I could think of to use here. But so I had a talk with him 2 days ago in the car as we're driving. And I said, you know, if you go to the bathroom before we get in the car and we go on the rides, we'll be able to drive longer than a half an hour. You might enjoy the ride more because I can always tell when he starts to get fussy at the half hour mark, I know he's got to go to the bathroom. So I've got to come back to the house and let him out because I also know Lasagna that he does not walk on a leash. And when he sees something he really wants to get to know, there's no calling him back, right? If he sees a turtle, he's going to try and hang all the way out the window to say hello to the turtle as we're passing it by. So I got to be extra, extra careful with him. So I had this long talk with him and explained this situation. And don't you know, yesterday I said to him, do you have to go pee-pee before we go? I'm using Joe's words. He knows pee. So he looked at me. He ran to the car and I was like, are you sure? Because we could do a longer ride. And he was like, okay, maybe I should go. And he ran to the tree, went to the bathroom, and then came back and said, okay, I'm ready. And then got in the car and we left, right? Today, I said to him, do you have to go pee? And ran out the door, ran to the car. As I was walking to the car, he was like, wait, wait, I gotta go do something. And he ran, went and peed, and came back. I was like, there's no way 2 days in a row this dog is understanding what I'm saying. I'm having these intelligent conversations with him now, and he's actually listening to me. So, yesterday and today, we did an hour tour of the neighborhood. Yeah. And we waved to everything that passed us. Yep. And it was good. It was really good. It's incredible. Yeah. And so these are the changes that we can make, right? When we lighten the load, when we take the pressure off of ourselves for things to be perfect or for us to feel like it has to be this way, can only be this way because this is who we've become, or you know, who we've elected ourselves to be, right? These energies are like, no, check yourself. If something is not working, you need to dump it. We need to let it go so that we can move forward on our path and have a better experience being us, right? Joanne, you had your hand up. Did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to ask a question. What this is this a strawberry moon? Is it something that hasn't, is it a special moon? No?
They're all special. I don't pay attention to that stuff. Yeah,
Oh, okay.
sorry. Yeah,
What
no.
is
I mean, yeah, you could find an astrologer and see if they're mentioning what moon it is. But you know, I'm talking energy. I'm not, you know, like and I'm not saying this in a derogatory way or to be mean or anything like that. So please do not take it that way. I'm talking energetics, right? We, you know. When people talk about like the strawberry moon or the harvest moon or the hunter's moon, to me, when I hear that, that ties me back to the almanac, right? Farmer's almanac,
Oh, okay.
that type of stuff. I'm talking about the deep, pure essence of what this moon is offering us in our opportunity to connect with it.
Does it have any connection if your birth date is on the day of that moon?
Oh yes, happy birthday. Yes.
Thank you. I just does it? I'm just curious. I don't like people to know, but it's like, is there a connection between your birth being on the been dying to know that?
Well, we're not there yet in the talk, but we're going to be there in a few minutes. So
Okay,
if you give me a
fine.
few
I'm asking.
minutes, I'll
Sure.
be explaining that for you too. All right.
Sure. Thank you.
So it's really important to understand. I wrote this on lined paper. I never use lined paper, so I can't even read what I wrote. It's important to understand where this moon is impacting us, right? Now, I know enough astrology that I can look at my chart to clarify, but because I've gotten so good at tuning in and feeling in, I can already know where things are hitting me, right? Where everything is focused for me. Now, Joanne's a Sagittarius sun, right? So it's going to affect her through the sun essence, which is more like the day-to-day. It's the essence of, who you are, like behind the scenes almost, right? Not the face you put on to the world, but the everyday, day-to-day essence of who you are. I'm a Sag rising. I'm a Cancer sun, but I'm a Sag rising. So the rising part of this, because it's rising for me, puts it in my first house on the zodiac. In order for me to know where Joanne's sun is hitting, I'd have to look at her chart astrologically to see what house that would be in. But it's in my first house. So I can share this with you and explain that for me, this Sagittarius moon is actually amplifying my identity, because the first house is all about your identity. It's about who you are, what your identity to everyone around you being reflected out, how you operate in the scheme of let's say the public, right? Like with other people, how you're viewed, how you communicate, it's complete identity, right? And my son is in my seventh house. Okay, so Cancer is my seventh house. My rising sign, which is my face to the world, is in my first house. Cancer, my sun sign, which is my behind the scenes kind of thing, is in my house of partnerships and relationships and other people sector of my chart, right? So if we know anything about that sector of the chart, we would understand that that house is all about relationships with other people. How I incarnated into this physical body is that I came to know myself through the relationships that I have with other people. That's how my sun sign operates in this human condition. Okay. So when you know or you have a little bit of understanding of your birth chart and what each house holds for you, you can have a better idea or understanding of how these energies are playing out for you. Does that make sense? All right, so I hope that makes sense for everybody. So this is affecting me in my who am I? Who am I? Right? How you're all seeing me. Right? And that's how this Sagittarius moon is affecting me today. How is everybody seeing me? How am I being seen? How am I being heard? Right? What am I bringing forward? Right? What identity do I bring forward with being me? Is it truth? Is it authentic? Right? This is why it's talking about that. Is it, am I maintaining my stature? Am I maintaining who I'm here to be? Or am I putting on another face that maybe isn't authentic? So when you meet with me, you would be like, oh, I don't know, this doesn't feel right or whatever. If I'm being in my authenticity, then you would be like, okay, what I'm feeling coming through is speaking truth to me. Right? Does that make sense to you? Right? That's the identity. So first house is identity. Okay. So each of us is going to receive in this moon in a different way. Okay. In a different position. But for every single one of us, every one of you, I don't care where it is in your astrological chart, okay, it is going to ping your creative nature in some way. Debbie and I just had this conversation probably last week that she's feeling very called to do pottery, right? And so that's something that she's feeling called to do, but she's also feeling called to do a little of something else. And so there's this like, what do I feel most authentic to? What feels most true in nature? Is it crocheting or is it pottery? Do I get as lit up doing crocheting as I do with pottery? Do I get as lit up with pottery as I do with crocheting, right? This is a great exploration of self because this is how we can authenticate what is most aligned with who we are, with our deep inner being. Okay. And that's what this moon is helping us with. Okay. So we can tune into this moon in a very easy way. And then without needing an astrological, because 99% of the time I tune in. And I can use the example, and you could go back to the replays of last September when I had that tussle with Beth and her daughter, right? I felt it coming. My soul self said something's not right in the house. Something's coming in the house. Something is coming in the home sector. We're going to be dealing with something here, right? Everything else felt aligned. Career was okay. Social was okay. I mean, social friends and spiritual was okay, but home was feeling not so good. And then that whole thing happened. I looked at my chart and I'm like, the eclipse in Virgo. That's the Virgo, hit right in my home sector, right in my fourth house. Fourth house is home. I was like, okay. So, knowing that, I've been feeling like something is coming back from that, that hasn't been fully settled, hasn't been closed, hasn't been completed, doesn't feel like it's been completed. And looking at the planets for the next couple of months, it would appear that the closure, so that was a partial solar eclipse. We're going to have a lunar eclipse, solar eclipses, spotlight issues, right? Lunar eclipses close the spotlight, close the issue. We're going to have a lunar eclipse in Virgo in September again. That's going to be the closure to this whole conundrum, right? So when we sit with ourselves, we can sit in some quiet space, right? Or maybe go for a walk. Sometimes I process when I go for a walk, and we can tune in and say, what am I feeling? Where am I feeling it? Am I feeling it in my home? Is this going to be something I need to change or work on? Or is it my spiritual self? Maybe I need to change that. Is it my relationships, my friendships, my family dynamics? Is it work, right? We can tune into that and see what might be coming up for us. Okay. So it's very important for us to tune in and feel within what it is. For me, I've been getting this gentle nudging. You got to move more. You got to move. You got to move. Painting, you don't really move much. Right, Loretta? Where'd she go? You don't really move much painting, right? You're standing in front of an easel or you're sitting in front of an easel, right? And then, depending on how my day goes, I might be sitting in this chair doing three sessions or two sessions, right? Sometimes one session. I have to find that routine, that balance for myself. You know, maybe get up a half an hour earlier and go for a walk every morning or do something, move more, move your body, right? Whatever it's going to be. So I've been getting that. So that's where I'm feeling the nudge. Tune in. Where are you feeling it? Where is it feeling for you? This would be a great journal prompt, right? To sit and journal and to see what it is that is coming up that might be something that you might need to take a look at, right? And also at this time, asking yourself, what feels like it's done, right? That's another good journal prompt. What place in my world feels like there's nothing left for me to do there? There's no movement forward there. Where do I feel stuck? Where do I feel stagnated? If I'm being honest with myself, where would that be? What would that look like? Right? How does that feel? And then we have to look at those different areas. And so, like in the case of Diana with the job, it was the job. Hey, I'm stuck here. I feel stagnant. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not feeling fulfilled. It's not serving a purpose for me anymore. It did in the beginning. It was getting me out to socialize. It was putting money in my pocket. But now something's changed, and that's no longer my truth. It no longer is aligned with me, right? You've all seen me take a step back from social media, and I don't feel as aligned with it anymore. Yeah, I still bring through the higher information here, but I don't really desire to sit at the computer and type out these long love emails anymore like I used to, and these long posts explaining or anything like that, you know. I prefer to show up here with all of you, whoever shows up with me. And we have this dialogue here because that's what's changed for me. And I don't feel bad about it, right? We have to honor where the soul is, okay? And say, hey, I might be done with this personality that I've worn, with this character that I've been, with this aspect of myself. Then it no longer feels good for me, right? Just looking at my art supplies the other day, I was thinking about, my stuff in my storage unit, and I was thinking about this big box of Copic markers that I have. Anybody that knows art knows they're like $5 a piece, you know. And somebody actually gifted them to me, and it's every single Copic marker, which I can't even tell you how much money that would be. Like, I don't know, $1,200, maybe a little more when you look at the markers, right? And I don't really use them. I don't, for me, it's not the first thing I think of. You know, like I feel like I'm being pulled back into oil painting again, which is my next endeavor after I'm done with this Buddha that I'm doing. And Like that's really, I think, where like most of my passion lies, that and watercolor truth. And they're so vastly different, right? Like oil painting, you make a mistake, get a couple of days to fix it. It's not gonna dry for about a week and I'm good to go, right? But watercolor, you accidentally get a drop of water from the bevel of the brush on the paper that you were painting, and now you've got a cauliflower, and you're like, God damn it, right? I got to do the whole thing all over again because watercolor is not forgiving at all. They're vastly different, but I love each one for different reasons, right? Like I'm finding my place with even gouache, which is the chicken and the lizard that I just did. And it's just, it's just finding your way, right? Figuring it out. And I'm looking at that box of Copic markers, and I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing with that? Even if I was to move somewhere else, like I gotta carry that with me. Why? Like it's a big tub. It's a tub of markers, right? So the idea of, gifting them to somebody that wants them is right there at the forefront of, my every thought, right? Because I know some great artists out there that would use them as an underpainting or whatever. I don't know. I don't aspire to use them. So why keep them? But that's like, the purge, right? That we're talking about, purging, the letting go, moving on, moving it on. If it's not working for you, move it on, get rid of it. Don't hold on to it because it's just cluttering the doorway, right? It doesn't serve a purpose anymore. So these are the things that are coming up with this, right? We're in this completion energy. This moon is like, guess what? We just started a new era. A new era that we have closed the door from 186 years ago, starting some new energy now. That 186 years is done. Door closed. Sag is like, I'm on it. We're closing it. This is it. It's all over now. Let's move on. Forward momentum. And then Jupiter goes, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to go into Cancer and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless you. And everybody's going to get a reprieve for the next year while these heavy energies are going on. Right. But we could miss Uncle Jupiter coming to the door with the great big bag of goodies because we're so fixated on the outer nonsense or the chaotic nonsense in the mind. Right. The minute you do a purge of that and clear all of that out, it makes it so much easier to hear what's taking place inside, right? And to connect with what we need to be connected with. Okay. So we have, only for information purposes here, Saturn, the taskmaster. Right? That crack that whip. I want you to get those experiences right. If you don't, they're going to come around again and you're going to have another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity. So we've Saturn and then we have Neptune going into the sign of Aries. We've talked about this in prior classes. I'm not going to go into this again. I'm just merely reminding you, when Neptune first starts out in a sign, it can be a little foggy. So, if you're feeling unclear or uncertain about a path or a direction or, a setup for work, a business, a relationship, or whatever, Neptune is going to potentially make it a little foggy. Sometimes it likes to throw those rose-colored glasses in there. So, if we're not really sitting in the feels and being clear with our inner being and be embodied, we're going to get the 2x4 up the side of the head, right? Because Aries, and we all have Aries in our chart somewhere, okay? Aries is my fourth house of home. So Aries likes to shoot first and ask questions later. Aries is a fire sign. It's a go, 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 right? So when we have this kind of a situation and we have Saturn and Neptune. Neptune hasn't been around for 186 years in the sign of Aries and is going in. We have all new energy, never seen or felt in our lifetime. None of you know what this is about. I don't know what this is about, right? We're flying by the seat of our pants. It's 0 point all new energy. We're learning it together because nobody knows. Even the astrologers don't know. Okay. See that the lights flickered in agreement with me. Okay. Because they want you to get it, that you gotta really pay attention here. You got to pay attention and make sure that you are navigating with those who can bring this information through for you. Okay? And that's not just me. That's other people out there, but make sure that they are versed in what they're talking about, right? You got to make sure that. Okay? So again, it's asking us, where have we gone as far as we can go that we cannot go anymore, right? We've been there, we've done that. Where else could we go? What's needing our attention in this moment? Well, obviously, Lasagna needs a lot of attention, right? He loves to play. So he's my playmaster, and he's like Saturn cracking the whip, going like, you need to play. Step away from the desk and play, right? Step away and go do something fun. Where do we need to expand? Right here, I'll tell you, for me, it's creation. For me, it's creation. For me, it's fun. For me, it's playtime, right? My mom came to me in a dream last night. I woke up saying 29. It's her birthday number, right? It's her birthday date, right? I thought 29. I was like, Mom, like, is that you? You know? And then I go back to sleep. Of course, I went to the bathroom, but I go back to sleep. And then I'm dreaming this conversation with my mother that I didn't remember most of. And then she shows me this person that I know. He's a surfer. He's a little older than me, a couple of years older than me. And she's like showing me the picture of him. But like, of course, by that time I'm waking up to this person in my head. And I'm like, why do I have him? And then when I shut my head down, it was like, get out of your head. You feel it, feel what's, oh, she's telling me she wants me to have fun. She wants me to learn to have fun because she was my taskmaster when I was young. Right? So she's sending me a picture of this person saying, see, he's having fun. You need to have fun. Go have fun. Right? So that's my goal right now for myself is to have fun. Right? So, what is asking for your attention? Where do you need to expand? I've been focused on service probably my whole life, right? But really focused, you know, always answering people's requests or questions outside of the community, outside of a session. You know, a lot of people don't do that, they don't respond, you know? I've always done that because I've always taken that responsibility, right? But now it's time to play. Look at it for yourself. Where is it hitting you? Where do you need to expand yourself? Right? Feel into that. What does that feel like for you? You know, what's interesting is a lot of people are seeing snakes, whether they're having a dream about a snake. Or they're seeing a physical snake. I saw two snakes. I had one in my garden, and then I had one scurry across the road in front of me, a big black snake right in front of me, go across, right? And it's the feminine energy rising. It's Kundalini energy. It's the shedding. It's rebirthing. Where are we? We're in a time of shedding. We're in a time of Kundalini activating. We're in a time of rebirthing, right? So it's very perfect. Snakes also hold dragon energy. So if you've been seeing a lot of dragons or any dragons, dragons, or dragonflies, even, right? Very potent energies at play here. And so the snake feels like it's aligned with what is taking place. And especially when we look at the spine and the kundalini, the two serpents, right, going up the spine. We talked about Jupiter in Cancer, but I didn't tell you that it's mother energy. And because of the nature of this shift with Jupiter in Cancer for the next year, it's going to be a year, so we're all going to receive the benefit of that. Expansion is going to be bigger and it's going to be louder than ever before because we're in all new energy. Nothing is going to feel like you know it, right? But we have to surrender to ourselves. We have to surrender. We have to allow ourselves to access our intuition. We have to stop asking everybody else for their opinion when we are looking to do something, because that only confuses us and it doesn't give us an opportunity to sit within ourselves, right? This is Mary Magdalene energy. It's not just mother love energy, it is love lover energy, right? It's that energy that is deeply heart-based energy. That's right, coming from the depths within us, full embodiment, right? The deepest sense of love. And so the reason this is all taking place is for us to awaken to find our highest joy, right? Feel our deepest feels, open new pathways. Bring us into our higher potential, tap into that higher self governing energy that we all have innately within us, that creator energy, the creator of who we are, that aspect of who we are, right? And bring us into that higher potential with even greater, deeper awareness and presence. Right? So important right now. It's so important. So, some of the things that I've been experiencing over the last week, as I'm acknowledging the shift that we're in, right? I can't help but acknowledge the moon. It comes in right through my bedroom window. But turtles, for those of you that are seeing turtles, okay, whether you're seeing them in the clouds, in your dreams, on the road, in a store you walk into, on a kid's outfit or whatever. It's the mother energy. It's about longevity. It's about awakening, right? Very ancient creatures. Woodpeckers. I had two of them on my tree, but I didn't have just regular woodpeckers. As I said earlier in the beginning of this class, these things were like prehistoric, the size of a crow. They're huge, these woodpeckers. But the energy of the woodpecker is the power of rhythm, right? That, and to understand that you're safe to follow your rhythm. What have I been doing? Following my rhythm. I have no choice. I am in the greatest aloneness I've ever been in, right? But I asked for this, right? So I'm utilizing every moment of it. There is not a second of it that goes to waste, right? I'm in that essence continuously. The snake, I already said, shedding, rebirthing, kundalini. And again, I don't care where you're seeing this, right? You're seeing it, acknowledge it, allow it to be one with you. The deer, which lures us to new adventures. The stinkers are cleaning out my feeders, the bird feeders. They remind us to be gentle with ourselves, right? And as I said earlier, animal communication is very heightened right now. So I have a that lizard that I painted is the lizard that's behind the beautiful welcome-ish sign that Loretta made for me for my front door. And he loves it. Today he was laying across the whole top of it. Actually, I hadn't seen him practically all day. And when I sat in the living room for 5 minutes, I forget what I was doing. I look up and he's on the screen outside the window. Is like, he's like, "Hello, did you forget about me? Did you forget about me?" And then the next thing I know, I come out the door and he's like lounging across the top of the sign. It's just so profound because he's not even afraid anymore because we had this communication. We had this beautiful exchange that says to him, "Listen, I'm not the one you have to worry about. You see her, Miss Kitty over there? You need to worry about her. Oh, funny story before I forget. This is really kind of funny. Animal communication is heightened, so unfortunately, and I think this is the first time for her, Bella killed a cardinal, a female cardinal, this morning. She lays under the feeders, and I think she was trying to play with it. She jumped up, she grabbed it with her mouth, and the cardinal died instantly, probably had a heart attack, died instantly. I watched the whole thing from the couch. I was sitting looking out the window, and I ran to the door. Actually, I ran to the window, and I saw her tapping it. And then running away from it, tapping it and running away from it. And I'm like, she thought she was going to be able to play with it. Like, she didn't realize she could hurt it, right? She doesn't know that. Because I don't think in Stony Brook she ever did anything like that. I've had it 4 years. She's never bought me a mouse. She's never bought me a bird. Like, she just has never done that. So when she came in, she was really depressed and sad and just like laid on her cat condo and didn't look out the window and was like really mopey all day. And we had this long talk, her and I. But then I let her out right after she ate dinner, and she went and she sat between the two bird feeders. So I said to Lasagna, I called her in, right? Like half an hour later, I left her out there for half an hour, called her in. And when he came to the door, I said to him, do me a favor. Go pee between the two bird feeders so that she doesn't lay there. And do you know he walked out the door and went over and peed right between the two bird feeders? I was floored. I was like, I'm really good. I'm getting really good at this. I just thought it was the funniest thing. It was just hilarious. It was so comical. But you know, when you're alone and you have this time for expansion, you really blow open to like just like new heights of everything. I was cracking up. It was just the funniest thing I've ever experienced. But I don't take it for granted because there's definitely that connection and this energy that we're playing in that makes this all of this possible, right? So stay playful. Like, I know life gets in the way. I had that hope my whole life. Now I don't because destiny has brought me here. It's definitely destiny. It's all in my chart. But it's this time for me to go into my own personal expansion. But do the work, guys, because it takes you to the most magical places when you stay in it, when you do it, right? And you're aligned with it. And I want that for all of you. Not just for me, but for all of you. Sue?
So we've been seeing bunnies every single day, and I think Terry's, he's definitely calling them in, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
He's like playing with that, you know?
Well, you know, bunnies are interesting because the first thing that I think of when I see a bunny is they, I've never seen one hop backwards. So they only move forward, right? It's forward movement. The other thing about them is they are very potent fertility. So fertility is a thing with bunnies. So for me, that doesn't mean like, you know, birthing children or birthing more bunnies. It means creativity is heightened. So that would be something.
We're starting to decorate the house. It's so much fun.
Yeah. So that would be something that you want to do more of. You know, I saw your post planting the garden. That's definitely creativity and flow.
Yeah, Terry's having a great time decorating.
Good.
I'm helping, you know.
Hey, listen, even the divine masculine, for the men in this community, even the divine feminine is integrating within the divine masculine. When I say that, it's not just for women, it's everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
so Terry too. Tell him
yeah.
I said
Okay. And we saw a fox. A fox
actually crossed the road in the city 2 nights in a row,
Wow.
right in front of our path. And it was one of those brindle or like kind of tricolored, beautiful fox.
Yeah. Well,
And then
foxes
go ahead.
are about being clever, right? They're sharp. They're very, very sharp, very clever. So they carry that essence, like sharp like a fox. Like a fox is very diligent in knowing where it's going. It studies its course first to make sure it's on the right path.
I know, I couldn't believe, like, it just looked so confident crossing the road, like it had done it 100 times before, you know. And the other animal was a mama duck, and she was crossing right in front of my car. Again, like, this street is just like full of animals. It's like a street I go down to get to my new house.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah,
And I
ducks are about
cried.
protection.
I cried and I cried, and I thought of my own kids, and I was going back to the old house to clean. And then Terry came. That was like one of our last nights there. I think it was our last night. And but I just kept thinking about my own children, and then he came in the door, and then I cried some more. I was just thinking, my kids are all safe and happy. Like, all of the cars stopped for this little family to go across, and it just got me. It was like, I am so happy for my kids. So yeah, anyway.
That's great. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, if you're present, you're going to have those magical moments where you're going to be able to experience, you know, nature giving back, basically, right? And there's a message in everything. You know, we have to be able to access it, and you can only access it when you're present for it. You know, when you're in your awareness for it. And I have to be very conscious and present driving down these back roads because there are turtles everywhere. There are snakes everywhere. And sometimes, you know, there are certain snakes like black snakes that will curl up and just basically sun themselves in the middle of a road. Now, I know plenty of people who might pick that snake up because they know it's not poisonous and it doesn't bite and put it to the side of the road, but I'm not that brave. I don't trust yet. So I mean, I might take out my hiking pole and give it a poke and be like, yo, you got to move out of the side. But, you know, to pick it up and put it to the side of the road. No, but you know, when you're present, it, you know, yeah, you're going to see a lot of amazing things. Like, I could not believe these. Well, I'm going to post these woodpeckers so you can see it. They're huge. They're the size of a crow. They're huge. I was like, where did these prehistoric birds come from? But they're beautiful. They're like amazing. You know, in nature's creatures are just, even this beetle, this big water beetle, this scarab, like it was like that big, you know, like this, like a bigger than a half a dollar, you know, it was huge sitting right on the front mat. And I walked up and I was like, oh, hello, you know. We just have to take it all in and just be one with everything, you know, in the stillness. These energies are allowing us to create, you know, our playground and to really call us to our destiny. You know, to open to what is aligned for us, because we're in that energy. I'll use the term North Node energy in case you hear it out there. North Node energy is destiny energy, right? Many of us are coming to the end of our South Node, which is past lives, past parallel reality lives, whatever you want to call it, right? Karma, right? South Node is all karma and all that. And North Node is destiny. So many of us are going to be pulled to, new places, meeting new people, new things, new opportunities. Presence is number one on the list, right? Practicing embodiment, really drilling down to a soul level. So important, really important. All right. Questions? Any questions? Anybody have anything they want to share? Anything? Bella is coming to say hello. Hello. Hello, Bella. Anybody have any questions about anything? No. I mean, there's a website out there for those of you that might want to look up your birth chart. You have to know, obviously, the day and year, day, month, and year you were born. You need your birth time exact, right? Because if it's not exact, it makes a difference in the degrees of the planets in your chart. So you want your birth time exact and the place that you were born, right? The town and the state that you were born in. And then you can run your birth chart. And there's plenty of ways of accessing that information. There's a lot of different websites that run reports. I know Astro Dienst, I think it's called, or astro.com, Astro Astro.com, will give you your birth chart. And there's I think a tab in there where it will give you a glimpse of your natal chart, meaning the chart that you were born under, right? Which is what makes you you. So if you wanted to get that, you could do it at astro.com. Or you could go to an astrologer and pay an astrologer to have that done too. Depending on what you want. But I mean, I'm giving you enough information here that you really don't need to do that. You could really just sit and go within for yourself to access where your shifts are coming. I know that I'm going to have a shift coming sometime in October, because again, like I'm in the heat of the heat, right? It's like 93 degrees. The humidity is a little up. I'm managing. I'm not falling apart. I'm doing pretty good actually. And I was sitting out admiring the clouds earlier until the thunder started, and then I was like, all right, time to go in, because we get these spontaneous showers down here. Although that didn't happen. It was just thunder and a little bit of lightning. And I was sitting out there, and I had my eyes closed, just listening to everything. And I was really feeling October energy. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. I'm feeling October. And then I tuned in a little deeper, and I felt like something was gonna shift in October. And that's when I looked at the dates and the stats, and to look to see what eclipses were coming up. And that eclipse in September that's gonna close out this last year, that goes back to last September. So that was right on point. And that's all in my fourth house home environment, right? So there's still a lot of stuff that's taking place here that's kind of settling energies and whatnot. Yeah, so interesting. Diana?
Yes, hi. I wanted to add something. Everything you mentioned when you walked away from your corporate job is almost pretty much exactly what happened with me. I had my first panic attack that I ever had in my entire life, literally at my desk. And that day is when it was May 23rd. That day was the day I knew that I was not going to stay because I also had cancer twice. First time, second time I healed it on my own. And I said to myself, I am absolutely not doing this again, not happening. And what the significance here is what I feel like I finally cleared is the disappointment and what others will think of me, including my husband, including my children, because let's face it, I was there for a paycheck. It is not who I am. I felt like I needed to bring home a significant salary in order to be a contribution, which not true. But and I was doing something completely outside of who I am for almost 2 years. So a lot of my childhood came rushing through. I had two sisters that were honor roll students, and I struggled through my entire school year life, not the best grades. And I always felt my father in the back of my mind saying, and I love my dad, rest his soul. He was just the way he was, and that's how he was brought up. But I remember him saying, "You will never amount to anything if you don't get your grades up." So this job was, a lot. It taught me that the only person by staying there that I was disappointing was my soul, because I literally felt like my soul literally deteriorating. And I didn't even give notice. They were not happy with me, but I had a very beautiful, the CFO was not happy with me, but I had a beautiful conversation with the HR woman, whom was very understanding, beautiful lady. And I said, "I apologize, but this is how it has to be. I'm not coming back. I'm giving you my final resignation." And that was it. So, and
But that's what the Sag Moon did. It's culminations, it's endings. It took the job out from you.
I'm a Virgo sun and Scorpio rising. So I don't know where that places me right now, but it's interesting. And my daughter is the opposite. She's a Scorpio sun and a Virgo rising.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that? So, but I wanted to share that. This was a monumental moment, and I even reached out to you that morning. And then 5 minutes later, I'm like, I
And what was my
resigned.
answer? My answer was like, then leave
Yep.
and go.
You and my mother-in-law, she coached me. I had you rooting. I'm like,
Gotta go.
gotta go. So, and no one's disappointed. My husband's not disappointed. My kids have their fun, loving, energetic, dancing around the house mom back. And for a year and a half, even they started to notice. And I said to myself, what am I doing? Like, why am I even still doing this? My kids started to notice, like, what happened to mom? So, but yeah, so thank you. Thank you, thank you.
So that, so you said you're a Scorpio with Virgo rising?
Yes, I'm Virgo sun, Scorpio rising.
Oh, Virgo sun, Scorpio rising. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the full moon lunar eclipse in September will be affecting you, whatever house your Virgo is in. So it's going to be on a personal, on a more personal level, though, instead of like, your face to the world. So it sounds like it's right for what just took place. So by September, whatever's getting adjusted, right? Whatever's kind of being configured. Or you could even go back to last September and see what was going on for you when we had the solar eclipse in Virgo and see what was
Yeah.
taking place for you this September. And then you'll know by knowing, by feeling what's coming to an end as we move into
Right.
this Virgo lunar eclipse in September.
Make sure I keep an eye on that. I love astrology.
Yeah, I should have been an astrologer.
As a teenager, as a kid, I always had everything hanging on my walls. I was really into it, and I don't know, maybe I'll get it back into it.
Listen, it's never too late to go for
No,
something and start and
definitely not.
pop that door open. I'm like,
Yep.
I mean, I know a lot only because my mom was, a lover of astrology when I was young. And I've always used it as a gauge. Like it's for me, it's not like a final word in, whatever, but it's like a gauge for what's taking place in life. But if, again, as I'm sharing, all we have to do is really tune in and you'll know where where you feel the energies are charging you. I'm getting this creator energy. It's making me want to paint.
Me too. The
It's
writing. And I
making
started
me want to
working out
paint.
again.
Yeah, so you're being pushed in that in that way. So, yeah. Well, Virgo is on my midheaven, right? So it's like it's why I do this work. That's what the midheaven is, and it's in my ninth house of travel and influences and that spirituality and all of that sort of stuff. So it's pushing that essence for creative endeavor, for self-expression, for all of that. That's why you're feeling that. It's happening for all of us, just in different ways,
Yes.
right? Because
Absolutely.
we all have Virgo somewhere impacting us in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, good. Congratulations.
Thank
Congratulations on
you.
your book, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, anybody else have any questions or anything you'd like to share or no? Okay. Oh, Tamara?
Yes, I just went on that website real quick and I put my information in. I'm Scorpio, but it says I have the sun in Scorpio and moon in Scorpio.
Okay.
I remember, what's the name told me that too? Caitlin Kayars.
Oh, Caitlin Kayar. Yeah. If you look all the way down at the bottom of, so like it gives you the wheel and then it gives you a box with all of the planets and then the signs. At the very bottom of that box, it says ASC. That's your ascendant, wherever that is, whatever the first one is. So that's the most important. Those three are the most important: the sun, moon, and the rising, your ascendant sign. So
Oh, Jerry.
Scorpio,
Oh,
though, huh?
yeah. Oh, this one just says for today. Maybe I clicked on the wrong one.
Scorpio, though, is, it's being uplifted by these energies. So you have to practice being present and within so that you can bring in the energies that you need in order for creation.
Thank you.
But that's what makes you so emotional, water, water. That's why I'm asking you what your ascendant is.
Oh, let me see if I'll find it and I'll text you. Because it went off that page.
Yeah, okay, I can help you with that. But if you look at that, see, well, the other important aspect to know is sometimes we can be very quick to react, right? Our astrological chart could make that possible, right? We have our chart that we were born with, And then we look at how many aspects of water signs, water is our emotions, how many aspects of air, which is our thinking, it's mental, right? It's communication. We look at how many is earth, that means how grounded, how deep we are. And then the other part of it is fire, right? So how fiery and reactive we are. So somebody that has, four elements or let's say five elements in fire, three elements in water, and an element in air and an element in earth, they're going to be very emotional, very reactive, very volatile, very fast, right? Because they're all water and they're all fire, right? So very emotional, maybe irrational in their thinking because they don't have much air, so that they're not going to take a lot of time to think something through. They're going to be extremely reactive. All right. So it does help when you know a little bit about your birth chart and how you incarnated so that you can do a better job like managing those aspects of yourself that need more that need more presence, that need more attention.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else before we go? No? All righty. All right, you guys, our next gathering, let's see, what is this going to be? Our next gathering is next Thursday at 1:30. My father's birthday, the 19th. So, all righty. I know that some of you might not be able to make that, but that is when our next class, our last class for June is going to be. So oh, Joanne, you're raising your hand?
I'm going to say one more thing.
Oh, you muted yourself.
I'm glad that I came here. It was very special for me to be here on my birthday. I made sure that I came to this class no matter what was planned. I had my dinner planned. I got to be home by 7. So I'm very happy I was here. I
Oh,
enjoyed
birthday.
class.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very
Yeah.
much.
Very
Happy
happy
birthday.
birthday.
Thank
Very
you,
happy.
guys.
Very
Very happy I
happy
was here.
birthday to
Yeah.
you. Happy birthday, dear Joanne. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, guys. It's good to be here.
All right, you guys. Have a good night. Thank you, everybody,
Thank you.
for
Good
joining.
night.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.